Well, we're glad to be together tonight. Our speaker tonight is one of our several faithful and dedicated deacons, Brother Jose Palma, a faithful and dedicated servant of Christ. If you have some time sometime, I wish you'd just sit down and talk with Jose for a little while, let him explain to you how he came to obey the gospel. It will make you feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside because it shows that the gospel works in strange and wonderful ways. He has a wonderful story to tell. Sometimes just get him off by himself and let him tell you about it. It's a wonderful story. He's a family man. We're all proud of his family. His family's respect for the leadership provided by Jose and his lovely wife, Sandra. The children, Cassandra, Jose, and Alessandra are respectful, friendly young adults. We watch them grow up. They're just wonderful. Jose is an excellent Bible student. He's not only a 5K runner, he's an excellent Bible student, has a constant and abiding will to learn, not only for himself and for his family, but for people everywhere. He makes periodic trips to Mexico, and he never makes a trip to Mexico that when he packs his stuff, he packs a sermon outline at the same time. So he always has a sermon to preach when he gets there. And he'll speak God's word to all who would listen to him. And so it's a pleasure to introduce our speaker for the evening, Brother Jose Palma. Jose?
Good evening. Based on the song that our brother just sang, you would believe that he called me on the phone and that we coordinated, but I know that that's exactly the song that I would have requested for tonight. I am most grateful to our God and Father for giving me this opportunity. And I also sincerely appreciate the privilege I have to share with you this message tonight. Thank you for being here. Please allow me to start by sharing a rather personal note with you, like our brother Lee was mentioning a few minutes ago. Had someone told me when I crossed the south border 30 years ago that one day my life would turn drastically from one of being an illegal in this land to become one with a legal citizenship, but not only of this land, also with a heavenly citizenship in the kingdom of God. From one of being an only child to become one with thousands of good and respectable brothers and sisters all around the world. From one of being a fatherless child to become an adopted one by God, and that I would be able to call him not only my God, but also my own father. From a futile and empty life without purpose and direction to become one with a clear, heavenly, and eternal purpose and direction. And from one of a lost, doomed sinner condemned to eternal damnation to become one justified, forgiven, and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I would have considered such a person to be completely absurd, foolish, and irrational. However, my life has been indeed blessed far beyond all my expectations. Therefore, echoing our brother Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I can gladly say this in front of you tonight. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, I am sure each and every one of you here tonight, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, can say amen about your own life in Jesus as well. Using our imagination, let's go back in time about 3,000 years ago. We are all citizens of Israel with David as our beloved king. Today, we have been summoned to come to his palace. He has an important message for us all. From one high balcony where he can clearly be seen and heard, he proclaims the following. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. King David repeats this phrase, sing praises, 5 times to show us how vehemently he is that God might have his due praise and glory with our singing. We all think this is significant and agree with him. Some nodding our heads in approval, others expressing phrases like, as you wish, so be it, or it will be done as you said. So King David dismisses us and each starts turning back to their homes. All of a sudden, out of the midst of the crowd, the silvery voice of a young lad is heard saying, King David, I have a question. There is a complete silence all around. King David turns his eyes to him and says, in a rather exciting voice, I will be more than glad to hear your question, young man. To what the youngster replies, actually, I have 6 questions. The king smiles, then he turns to the crowd and says, and I want all of you to stay to hear his questions and my answers to him. So we all go back to our places and pay attention. What is your first question, young man? My first question is, like any little kid, his first question is, why? Why, king, do you want us to sing praises to God? Well, dear fella, praise the Lord. Psalms 96, 4 and 5. Psalm 96, 4 and 5. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord, our Lord, made the heavens. King David also says in Psalm 147, verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. I know we all agree that singing praises to our God is good, pleasant, and it is beautiful, because we show this sentiment in our own hymns, like in number 682, the new song, where we say, it thrills my soul to hear the songs of praise we mortals sing below. The greatest joy that I have ever known is praising him in song. In number 389, sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, we say, my heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. So we all agree, praising is beautiful. Praising is pleasant. Praising is good. Now, I have a question for us. What do you think King David only invited his people in this make-believe story? Why do you think he's inviting his people to sing praises to God instead of making it a command? As a king, he had all the right to force Israel to obey his decree and to punish those who would dare to disobey it. I believe David knew that for true praise to be effective and accepted by God, such praise would have to be a voluntary individual decision. He understood that even as a king, he could not force nor impose his own ardent and fervent desire, namely to glorify God by singing praises to him into the hearts of his subjects. This principle makes our praising the highest of all praises because it is done as a matter of choice. Our praise ought to be done as a willful action from our hearts. Let's go back to our make-believe scenario where the young men ask a second question. What? What do you want us to sing, King David? What are we supposed to sing? With patient voice, King David responds, as I already mentioned, sing praises. With an expression of confusion on his face, the young man asks, But what are exactly praises? By the way, for the purpose of this lesson, I am using singing as one of the forms that one can use to praise our God. But as we already know, among others, heartfelt expressions of veneration and reverence in prayer and thanksgiving are also forms of praise. In 2 Chronicles 29:30, we read, "Moreover, King Hezekiah and the elders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped." The words of David, as a sweet singer of Israel, are captured in the book of Psalms. Hence, in the New Testament, Paul reminds us to use also the Psalms along with hymns and spiritual songs to praise God. We find our Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in our two books, Hymns for Worship and Praise and Adoration. However, although some topical categories overlap with others in their content, not all songs fall under the category of praise and adoration. When we worship together, we also use, as Paul mentions, songs that will help us to encourage, to teach, and admonish one another. According to the given classification of our main book, out of the 702, only 74 hymns fall under the title of direct praise and adoration. The supplement book is titled Songs of Praise, but I'm not sure if all 34 songs qualify directly as full of praise. So what qualifies a song to be considered to be of praise and adoration? What criteria do the feelings in that song must evoke in us? But most importantly, what feelings must be conveyed from my heart, from our heart, to the heart of God? Let's look at the words praise and adoration. Let's see what they mean. The word praise means to express a favorable judgment of, to commend, to glorify, especially by the attribution of perfections. Glorify means to make glorious by bestowing honor, praise, or admiration. To elevate to celestial glory. To represent as glorious, extol, exalt. To give glory to, as in worship. The word adore means to worship or honor as a deity or as divine. To regard with loving admiration and devotion. Some synonyms of the word adore are revere, reverence, venerate, worship. Generally speaking, all these words mean to honor and admire profoundly and respectfully. But adore implies something very important for us. It implies love and stresses the notion of an individual and personal attachment. I believe it is very important that we pay close attention to what we are offering to God in our songs when we gather together. So with your kind permission, let me tell you the extent of how we are using our songs of praise and adoration. I retrieved from our website the 120 songs we sang in the last 2 months. Out of the 120 songs, only 9, according to the topical index of our book, only 9 were of direct praise and adoration to our God. Number 22, 41, 45, 51, 161, 434, 563, 561, and 48. Only 9 songs out of the 120 songs that we sang. Last Sunday morning, Brother Jonathan pointed out to us how great the singing was felt. Did you notice that the 2 first songs were of praise and adoration? number 561 and 48. I believe these are the kind of songs that can make our souls to rejoice the most. Hence, I would encourage our song leaders to make sure to include at least one song of direct praise and adoration every time we raise our hearts and voices to our God in His assembly. As David said, because praising the Lord is good. Because singing praises to our God is beautiful and is pleasant. The next question of our young friend is, how? Perhaps the young man wanted to know what instruments to use. After all, he knew that King David had invented some instruments himself. But King David does not mention any instrument. Instead, he says in Psalm 47:7, King David responds, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding." Paul also tells us to use our understanding, adding our spirit, or with our spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is the conclusion then? Will I pray with a spirit? I will pray with a spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with a spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. I believe the meaning of understanding has to do not only with the meaning of each individual word, but also with the concepts, messages, and ideas behind the phrases in the songs we sing. Another important element that I think applies to our songs directly into our songs comes from John 4:23-24. In John 4:23-24, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." I believe truth must be the direct element in singing with a spirit and understanding. In other words, in our songs, we not only say about the truth of God's praiseworthiness, but also the truth of my own yearning and deepest desire to praise and glorify Him. David also mentioned in Psalm 100 and verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Singing as a sign of glad service to our God." In Psalm 147:7, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God." Singing is an external action which God had appointed to express the inward joy and thankfulness of our hearts. As already mentioned, no one can force us to praise God with gladness and thanksgiving. It's our own decision to do it. Paul adds singing with grace in our hearts and making melody in our hearts. In Colossians 3:16, we read this familiar passage, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Therefore, using our heart is the source from where our gratefulness, joy, and devotion to our God must originate. What is our attitude about singing praises to God? Are we singing praises with gladness, or as one being forced against our own will? His next question is, when? When to sing praises? David answers with Psalm 113, verse 3. 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalm 96, 2. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Psalm 14:37. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Do these answers argue only on special occasions, like twice in the Lord's Day and Wednesday nights for us? We sing 16 songs per week in about 40 minutes of total time. What about the other days? What about Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? At this point, let's bring back the element of understanding and truth. What do we mean when we sing the following? Every day, Lord, oh, I need you. In my home, Lord, hallelujah. Every day, continually. If we understand that we need the Lord's presence in our life every day, every hour, at every situation, then singing praises to our God should be also every day. That's our desire. That's what we sing. In song number 12, we say, all day long of Jesus I am singing. He is my song of joy will ever be. That is why an endless song I sing. Do we remember to sing on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays praises to our God? In 389, we, on our song, sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, my heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. This feeling ought to be in us at all time and bring it with us when we assemble together, not the other way around. Coming together, sing it, and leave it here as we leave the song books. We are not professional singers who only sing at a particular event. We are God's singers. We should be praising God every day, inside and outside this building. We all recognize, as King David expressed in many of his psalms, that God's creation in nature sings to him, that the sun, the moon, and the skies, the stars, they do not cease to extol God's majesty day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, even second after second. The whole nature praises and extols God's majesty. Our song 51, our God and Father, or our Father and our God, we know this, and we sing, the heavens and earth thy glory sing, with loud hosannas praise they bring. Number 27, we sing, mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars begin. And number 56 is full of devotion expressed by all the creatures of God, in God's creation, all creatures of our God and King. I believe all creatures can joyfully fulfill this every day, except us, his intelligent creatures, who easily get entangled with the exigencies of this world. Perhaps what we need to learn is the understanding that God can receive praises and adoration at any time, that we should stop trying to find time. We need to make time in the midst of our busy and hectic schedules to fight against the pervasive and invasive intrusions of the world in our minds, and start singing more praises to our Lord and King when we are not inside this building. Of course, I understand that in this world there is pain and sorrow. So I am not talking about going all around, skipping in one foot and singing, sing and be happy in the midst of sadness and grief. Although that is what this hymn implies with the phrases, if the sky above you are gray, you are feeling so blue, lift your voice and praise him in song. And I also believe we have hymns that are, that would be appropriate to the difficult circumstances we are going through. I do not know, but I can assume that the hymns that we're saying with our brother R.J. Stevens around his hospital bed were suitable to the occasion. James 5:13 reminds us, in James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. We shouldn't be cheerful only inside this building. We should be glad at all times and find ways to praise and sing praises to our God. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did, both praying and singing. In Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Maybe we, like Paul and Silas, must learn to render our suffering circumstances not only tolerable, but as an opportunity to show our trust in our God. Next question. Where? Where can I raise my voice in praise to God? King David answered. In Psalm 149:1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints. Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud on their beds. In Psalm 57:9, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. We can easily identify the assembly of saints as his church for us. But the next two passages brings us outside the assembly and into our homes and among the peoples, which clearly argues different places and different times. And like we already saw under the answer to when, then we now have anytime, anywhere, provided the surrounding circumstances are appropriate to such endeavor. By this I mean that time and place must carry the proper decorum, since we are praising our God Almighty. In his State of the Church address, our brother D exhorted us to practice our religion when no one is looking. But that I understand the principle found in Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6 as applied to our prayers, and I believe the same principle can be applied to our singing praises to God. After all, we are addressing the same divine and omniscient being, but in song. So we can pray and also sing from inside our room with the door shut to the one who sees and hears in secret, as part of my individual and intimate worship to God, with the complete confidence and understanding that he will hear and accept my songs of praise and adoration. I believe we can safely say in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you sing, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, sing to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees in the secret, will reward you openly. Now, based on Psalm 57:9, I see the importance of bringing also our songs of praise outside this building and into the peoples in some practical way. This passage reminds me of many churches, church buildings found in Mexico and other places, where the buildings are surrounded by nearby houses. As a matter of fact, the proximity of the houses around is so close that people inside those houses can hear the songs. Literally, they can hear our brethren singing, and probably even the sermons. People walking by outside will also hear for a few seconds the words of a song or from the Word of God. As for us, how can we bring our songs of praise outside this building and outside our homes and into among the people? Well, the most obvious way is with our own voices and singing, which I think each Christian can decide when, how, and where. But there is another practical way to bring our songs to the world, that is by listening to our songs in our homes and cars. We can even provide some teaching to those who, even if just for a few seconds, would listen to one of our songs. Imagine what opportunity to teach a Jehovah Witness who knocks at our door and he or she hears us singing around the table with our family the line, "We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am." Can you think of another song that might open a direct discussion with a Jehovah Witness or any other person or religion about Jesus' deity? What about dropping someone at the hospital, and when we open the door of our car, someone will hear the lines from our song 462, "God will take care of you." Or number 510, "I will not forget thee." Number 417, "Under his wings." Or 626, "It is well with my soul," among others. That someone can be one who is without God and without hope in this world. Who knows? That someone might ask us about the reason of our faith based on what they just heard. Here's another way our songs of praise from our cars can not only impact someone around us, but also teach someone a lesson. Have you ever been at a red light or a parking lot, and right at that moment, a car pulls next to you with a very loud music coming out of his car's speakers? Have you noticed that most of the time, the words from those loud lyrics are full of vulgar obscenities and expletives? Perhaps that is a good opportunity to roll down our windows and rise up the volume of our car stereo, where a song like "This World Is Not My Home," "Exalted," etc. Paul and Silas left us an example of what "praise the Lord among the people" means. Have you ever wondered what songs they were singing? I believe they sang some psalms full of praise and adoration, along with trust and thanksgiving. Our young friend has one last question. Who's supposed to be praising God and singing? Perhaps the reason for his question was to make sure that he, as a young lad, had also such privilege, not only the grown-ups. So David responds with Psalm 30, verse 4. "Sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Both in Hebrew and Greek, the meaning of saint implies the same concept of being one set apart and separated by God himself, as clearly noted in Psalm 4:3. "But now that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, the Lord will hear when I call unto him." Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:2, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." What this clearly argues is that not only our voice is needed to sing praises. Technically speaking, anyone with voice can do it. But as we can see on these passages, the Lord set apart him that is godly, and them that are sanctified in Christ are the saints from whom God will accept songs of praise and adoration. Though the world contains otherwise, the world thinks that God is obliged to accept their worship in song from anyone, especially when such worship is offered in His name and in a spectacular show or from a singer with a beautiful voice and perfect pitch. How can he, people ask, how can he, God, not be pleased when I feel so uplifted with the loud instrumental music and breathtaking display of sound and lightning effects? Maybe they have not understood what God told the Israelites through the prophet Amos, because their hearts were not obedient to His commandments. In Amos 5:21, God told the Israelites, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. So I believe that God has the right to accept or reject our songs of praise and adoration, to be pleased or detest depending on the spiritual condition of the heart of him or her who is offering such praises. I believe that those who have been sanctified in baptism and continue in a faithful life before God can have and enjoy the full assurance that his or her intimate praise and adoration from inside and outside this building is going to be accepted by our God and Father. In conclusion, I would like to encourage each and every Christian to include singing songs of praise and adoration in our private worship, to find creative ways to bring our joyful songs full of gladness and thanksgiving to a world that does not know how good and pleasant to our soul it is to praise the Lord. I would like to encourage particularly the parents of young children to teach them to sing praises to God at home and anywhere. For instance, when going in a long trip in a car, it is a great opportunity to sing together as family. Now, some of you parents of young children might think that you do not need to teach them how to sing because you have seen how much they love to sing on their own. But the reality is that the fact that they like to sing naturally at such early age is not a warranty that they will continue doing it with the same gladness on their own as they grow up. Let me tell you why I say this. In our 7th and 8th grade class, Brother Joel Medrano and I decided to reserve one or two classes to singing. We talk about the importance of singing in our worship. We talk about their favorite songs, and we encourage the boys to lead a song or two. Unfortunately, we have noticed that some of them, boys and girls, start showing their indifference for singing. And some even say clearly that they do not like to sing at all. Therefore, I believe that creating the habit of singing at home or on the road with our children is an essential part of what it means in Proverbs 22:6, training up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Finally, as it is our custom, we invite our family members and friends to come to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, so you can also be set apart and sanctified by God. Then you will be added to His kingdom. He will be your Lord and King, and you will join His mighty spiritual chorus and sing with us. Number 411, redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. But even most importantly than singing with us here on earth, to sing yet another new song around the throne of God when your life on this earth comes to an end. Revelation 14, verse 3. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Don't you want that? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95:1. Thank you.